بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على المصطفى. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به وتوكل عليه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذ يرفع إبراهيم القواعد من البيت وإسماعيل، وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من رأى منكم منكرا فليغير بيده، فإن لم يستطع فبلسانه، وإن لم يستطع فبقلبه، وذلك أضعف الإيمان، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. الحمد لله. My respected and most honorable ulama ikram, dear brothers in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His infinite grace and mercy has allowed us in this month of Zilhijjah to see another very important and auspicious occasion. As it was a practice of many of my ustad and many of the pious predecessors from time immemorial, that during the particular month of Zilhijjah, they used to discuss the lifestyle and the personality of the person to which this entire month is devoted. You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this month of Zilhijjah has instituted this qurbani, the sacrifice which we have done a couple of days ago, has instituted this Hajj, which the people are performing, and they are coming to a conclusion, coming to an end right now, as we stand here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instituted this entire ibadat for a particular reason, and that is to remind mankind of a forefather that passed in the annals of this history of deen, in the annals of this history of Islam, to remember him and to revere him over and over again and all the time. And that is Ibrahim alayhi salam. You see, people in this world, they become valuable when they got qualities. They become valuable not because they are kings. If kingship was the most valuable thing, then Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have been a king. They don't become valuable because of wealth. If wealth was of importance, then Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have been made the most wealthy person. But people attain importance in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And people attain importance in the sight of other people because of what qualities they've got inside them. The quality and the ability to stand up in the face of batil, of falsehood, for the sake of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those are such qualities which Allah ta'ala always admires, and Allah ta'ala always speaks about. Once, just to give you an idea of how qualities make a person a man of value, is that once Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was sitting with a group of his companions. Amongst his companions were senior sahaba ikram, Hazrat Huzaifa bin Yaman radiallahu anhu, Mu'az bin Jabal radiallahu anhu, Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and many other sahaba ikram were sitting with him. And he just got up and he said that, "Ya ashabi, O my companions, tamannu desire. Tell me what is in your heart's desire." Our few friends will get together and tell me, "What you're feeling for right now? What do you want to eat right now? Ice cream, burgers, what you want to eat right now?" He got up and he said that, "O ashabi, O my companions, tamannu desire. What is in your heart's desire? Tell me." One sahabi stood up and said that, "Inni atamanna," that definitely I desire, "that annali baytan min darahim," that I have a whole house of dirhams, "wa unfiqu fi sabilillah," and I spend it in the path of Allah. That was their desires. We'll talk of other desires. That was their desire, that we want to spend in the path of Allah. Another fellow got up and he said, "Inni uridu wa ashtahi," that I intend and I wish, "that annali baytan min zahab," that I have a whole house full of silver, and I spend that in the path of Allah until that whole thing is finished, exhausted. Another fellow got up and he said, "Inni uridu baytan min al-jawahir," I want a house of rubies and precious stones and emeralds, so that I can spend that in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu got up after all of them finished speaking and said that, "Inni atamanna," that definitely I also desire. And what is my desire? "That annali baytan," that for me is a house, "min Huzaifa bin Yaman wa Mu'az bin Jabal wa Abu Bayd ibn Jarrah," that I have a whole house full of my sahaba ikram, "فَأُسْتَعْمِلُهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ," and I spend them in the path of Allah. I send them in the path of Allah, one by one, to do the work of Allah Ta'ala's deen. It is not wealth, it is not rubies that make a man, that make a world. It is the quality of people. It is the quality of people, and this is the person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to commemorate and think about, especially during this month of Zilhijjah, that Ibrahim alayhi salam, that same person whom we commemorated his sacrifice of his son Ismail alayhi salam a few days back, that is the person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to think over and over again and to commemorate his sacrifice. You see, in the entire lifestyle of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Believe me, it is not too late to discuss his life. We are not restricted to only to the day of Bakri to talk about Ibrahim al-Islam or a couple of days after that. We can talk about him any time. Indeed, in him is an uswa, is an example that every single person can learn from at any given time. That Ibrahim al-Islam had one glaring feature in his life. That when he was ala millati deenihi, when he was upon his deen, he wasn't there alone. He and his entire family were making the effort of deen together. You see, this entire hajj that is taking place, this entire Safa and Marwa that is taking place, it is not only a tribute to the piety of Ibrahim alayhi salam. The fact that his son went down on the ground is not only a tribute to Ibrahim alayhi salam himself, but rather it is a tribute and a commemoration to the entire effort that one complete family made. One complete family made. And that is a glaring example from Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life as well. When Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went for hijrats, when he went as a muhajir from Makkah Mukarramah to Medina Munawwara, he and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu went together. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had a father by the name of Abu Quhafa. His name was Usman. That was his real name. And he at that particular time was not as yet a Muslim. He was not a believer. He came home to the house of his son, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and told Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's daughters, Hazrat Asma radiallahu anha, and Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, who was going to become the future wife of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and look at your father. Look at your father. He never leave you anything behind for you to live on, for you to eat. What kind of a father you've got that just runs off there with Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and leaves you all nothing to eat? Hazrat Asma radiallahu anhu mentioned, myself and my sister, we made a plan. What we did is that where my father normally used to store his treasury, we took some pebbles and put it inside and covered it with a cloth. And I took my old father's, grandfather's hand, who was blind, the grandfather was blind, and I put it on top of that pebbles. And he felt it, and he thought it to be money, he thought it to be wealth, he thought it to be bits and pieces of gold, and said that, very well, your father has left you something to live on, I am very happy. But she says that, wallah, ma taraka li abi, my father did not leave for me one single dry piece of bread to live on at that particular time. But what made her behave in that way? What made her behave in that way? You see, the whole family was on the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When one person is upon deen, he's not kamal, he's not perfection. But when a complete family moves upon the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala cites them and uses them as an example in how many places in the Quran Kareem. You see, the entire construction of the Ka'batullah that took place when Ibrahim al-Islam built the Kaaba from nothing, from its foundations, and he raised it. Allah ta'ala talks about it in such a beautiful light that وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ, when Ibrahim alayhi salam lifted the house, the walls of the house of the Baytullah, not only himself, but Allah ta'ala specifically speaks about Ismail alayhi salam as well. That assisting him side by side, whose hand was there? The hand of his son. The hand of his son. Do you think that Ibrahim alayhi salam could execute all those commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without the support of his family? Allah ta'ala talks about his family over and over again. That when Ibrahim alayhi salam received that dream, when he received that dream that he is putting Ismail alayhi salam upon the ground and he is slaughtering Ismail alayhi salam, the first person who he goes and narrates his dream to is who? Is to Ismail alayhi salam himself. The boy is only 9-10 years old. According to Tabrani Sharif, he's only 8 years old. Allah ta'ala knows. He definitely was not as yet barif. The father came to the son. The father told the son that inni ara fil manam, that definitely I see in a dream that anni azbahuka, that I am slaughtering you. What do you think? What is your opinion, O my son? Look at the answer of the son. This is a family who's on deen. Not an individual who's on deen, but a complete family who's on deen. The father received the best reply that he could ever hope for from a son. When the son told him that, Ya abati fa'al ma tu'mar, that, O my beloved father, do as you are commanded. Do as you are commanded. Satajiduni inshallah. Very soon you will find me, if Allah ta'ala wills, min as-sabirin, I will be from the patient. I will be from the patient, and I will put my block down on the head, I put my head down right on the block for you to cut it off. This is an example of an entire family upon deen. And that is why Allah Ta'ala talks about them so frequently, over and over again, that it was not only Ibrahim alayhi salam at that particular juncture that was the hero of the occasion, but his son Ismail, his wife Hajra, that when he was taking his son and his wife, even the son was just a couple of days old, the son and the wife were just, the child was only a couple of days old, they came towards Makkah Mukarramah, where present day Makkah Mukarramah is today. And Ibrahim alayhi salam received the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that get up and go. Leave your son behind, leave your child behind, without offering an explanation. Get up and go. Ibrahim alayhi salam got up and he went. The wife, frantic, got up and said that Ila Aina Ya Sayyidi, that oh my master, where are you going? Where are you off to? Where are you going in this particular juncture? Ibrahim in Islam, according to most of the books of Tafsir, does not offer an explanation. Does not turn around and said, okay, ma, you know, we'll see you later, I'll see you after 5 years or 6 years. He does not offer an explanation, but he carries on walking. Obeying the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that woman becomes frantic. She realizes that this is a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that irrespective of whatever is the situation right now, whatever is the situation right now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never ever destroy us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that she runs between Safa and Marwa, which the Hujjaj are doing at this particular point in time. So between Safa and Marwa, up and down. And when she comes at the last hill of Marwa, and she looks at the yonder on the distance, she sees Ismail al-Islam kicking the sand. And as he's kicking the sand is getting more wet. And when she goes and discovers, Allah ta'ala gives the Ummat Zamzam. Allah ta'ala gives the Ummat Zamzam upon the sacrifice of a man who went out, of a woman who stayed behind, and she looked after her chastity and looked after her child. And upon the crying of that child, a collection of sacrifice of these three people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Ummat Zamzam. Allah ta'ala gave the Ummat the Kaaba in the form of his resurrection. Allah ta'ala gave the Ummat the Sunnat of Qurbani, which we practiced and sacrificed a couple of days back, all upon the sacrifice of a collective family. My respected elders and brothers, that is deen. When Allah ta'ala says that ala millati Ibrahima Hanifa, talking about our deen, talking and addressing that, what is our deen, what is the definition of Islam, that we are on the footprints and we are on the footsteps of the same pattern that Ibrahim al-Islam imprinted upon this entire ummah. What does Allah ta'ala mean? That what were the passions of Ibrahim al-Islam at that particular time must be our passions as well. That it was not sufficient that on Tuesday, Wednesday or Thursday or even today, you took a knife and put it upon the neck of an animal. It was not that. That was not the commemoration of the event. But rather, what was the sunnah of Ibrahim al-Islam at that particular time? That was the lesson to be learnt at that particular time. And what was the lesson of Ibrahim al-Islam? That when he knew very well that at the age of 90 plus, when Allah Ta'ala gave him a son, and the son was running about, and that was his entire expectations and anticipations of life were invested inside that one child. His entire expectations and anticipations of life were invested inside that one child. After that child had reached an age where he could be of benefit to the father, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now commands him, take a knife and put it on the neck of a throat. To us it's a stranger. To us it's a stranger. We read about the story and we hear about it over and over again in the Quran al-Kareem, and some alim will come and give us a talk regarding it. To us he's a stranger. But to Ibrahim al-Islam, that Ismail al-Islam was no stranger. He was no stranger. When Allah ta'ala commanded him to put the knife on the neck, it was not the knife on the neck of flesh and blood. It was the knife on the neck of passions and anticipations and a weight and an expectation which Allah Ta'ala made him wait for so many years. Because Allah Ta'ala wanted to teach him a lesson. And that same lesson Allah Ta'ala talks about in the Quran al-Kareem. That, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, O people of Iman, O people of Iman, let two things never ever beguile you from the remembrance of Allah. La tulhikum amwalukum wa auladukum. La tulhikum amwalukum wa auladukum. Let not your wealth, which you consider that the wealth in my pocket and the wealth in my account does, let not that wealth, and let not the children ever beguile you from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and executing the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That be the command of Allah that Ibrahim al-Islam fulfilled, and he put it on the neck of his, the knife on the neck of his son. At the end of the day, Allah ta'ala did save his son, as we know the story. Allah ta'ala saved him. Allah ta'ala brought down a ram from Jannah. But at that time, where he did not know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was going to send down that ram, what went through his heart? That I am not putting the knife on the neck of this flesh and blood and this young boy in front of me. I am putting the knife on the neck of years and years of weight and years of eagerness that had built up in my heart. And now when I saw that son after 8 or 9 years, Allah ta'ala is telling me to chop off his neck. But he knew that it was a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was a command of Allah ta'ala that must be fulfilled. My respected elders and brothers, Allah ta'ala does not give us his qurbani for nothing. Allah ta'ala does not give us his hajj for nothing. Allah ta'ala does not give us his month of Zilhijjah for nothing. It is a lesson to us that every single day, the knife must be in the hand of a person. The spiritual knife must be in the hand of a person. Be prepared to put it upon all those passions that make their appearance every day in every moment of our life. Be the eyes in wanting to look at evil. Be the hands is it wanting to hold evil? Be it whatever, wanting to run towards the breaking of the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like how Ibrahim al-Islam held the knife and put it upon all those anticipations and expectations. The knife of a mu'min is always in his hand. To put it on those expectations that he thinks can be the outcome of all these things. My brothers, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us all with the ni'mat and the great strength of iman. And this ni'mat of iman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demands one particular thing as well. Is that we follow Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and we follow Ibrahim alayhi salam and all the single Anbiya alayhi salam to the complete and the minutest detail. But one thing that Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us is that besides you making an effort upon yourself, you've got to make an effort upon the immediate people around you as well. Allah Ta'ala says clearly in the Quran Kareem that Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nar. Save yourself and save your family from the fire of Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala tells us clearly in the Quran Kareem. The system of Qurbani that we sacrificed, that we made, the system of the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the entire pattern of the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam was one of a family making a collective sacrifice as a lesson to the mu'mineen, as a lesson to the followers of Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is going to read that story in the Quran Akrim, who is going to be addressed regarding that story every single time the month of Zilhijjah comes, who is going to listen to that story over and over again, that if you want to attain perfection in your deen, you are not alone. You are not alone. But you are moving with the entire contingent with you. Your wife is part of that contingent. Your daughters are part of that contingent. Your sons are part of that contingent. The neighbors are part of that contingent. And how well you can perfect your iman is how well you work on that contingent there behind you as well. Respected elders and brothers, when a person understands his responsibility towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the first thing that he has got to understand, that in fulfilling my command and my responsibility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, upon me, the responsibility of my immediate people rest as well. The importance and the responsibility of my immediate people rest as well. That I have got to advise them and I have got to work on them in such a way as my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught me. You know, what was the practice of Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? That how many people came to him with their personal problems? How many people came to him that I can't restrain from this sin, and I can't restrain from that sin, and I can't help myself, and I can't do this, and I can't do that. But what was the attitude of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam every single time somebody came with such a severe problem? What was the humility that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam expressed at that particular time? And the hikmat and the wisdom Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used at that particular time? Once, Hazrat Amr ibn Ayyis radiallahu anhu narrates an incident which is there present in Muslim Sharif, where a youngster came to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He came right in front of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in front of the majlis, in front of the gathering, and all the other senior Sahaba Ikram were behind this gathering, and he came close to Nabi Akrim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, spoke to him in such an audible way that the people next to him could hear, and said that, Ya Rasulullah, O Rasulullah, ajizni fi zina, give me permission in zina, give me permission in committing zina. Na'uz billah min zalik, what an abhorrent sin, a sin which tops the list of sins as far as the deen of Allah Ta'ala is concerned. A person is asking permission to commit zina. Nabi Akrim sallallahu alaihi wasallam called that person, and this is the hikmat of a Nabi. A lesson that Nabi Akrim wants to impart to us, that when a person comes with a personal problem and you see the ummah involved in any particular sin, the first step is not aggression. The first step is pyar and muhabbat and hikmat and wisdom. And he called that person forward and he put his hand on his chest and he told him that, Oh my son, that would you like it if somebody has to commit that same particular sin with your mother? He said, Nauz billah, I won't like it. I feel very, very offended. Then similarly, if you are going to do that particular thing, you are going to do it with somebody else's mother as well. That person won't like it. He put his hand again and he addressed him in another way. In another tone, he changed his tone and he said that, oh my young son, if somebody has to go and do that with your sister, would you like it? He said, no, I will not like it. I will feel very, very offended. Similarly, you are going to do it with somebody else's sister. The boy understood. He got up from there. That same narrator of the hadith says that nothing was ever more detestable and hated in his eyes of that young boy after that incident with Nabi Akrim sallallahu alaihi wasallam than that particular act of zina. One moment of hikmat, one fraction of wisdom, one fraction of a kind hand upon the chest of somebody else is enough to revolve his entire life 180 degrees in the other direction. Another person came. He came to the Masjid al-Nabawi. The Sahaba Ikram brought him. One fellow holding this hand, one fellow holding the other hand. He's wobbling and he's walking. Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what's the problem? What happened to him? He's drunk. in those days, the system when a person is caught drinking and the person is caught under the consumption of alcohol was not any specific punishment like 80 lashes or 100 lashes. Nabi Akram would just say, hit him. Hit him till he learned his lesson. Everybody started hitting him. And the Sahaba Ikram say, Minna Dharibun Min Ali. Some of us hitting him with his shoes, some of us hitting him with his hands. Until Nabi Akram said, enough. This fellow has had enough hiding, let him go. And as he walked away, one particular person made a statement regarding that fellow. That, Akhzakallah, may Allah Ta'ala disgrace you. For committing such a sin, may Allah Ta'ala disgrace you. Nabi Akram s.a.w. called that fellow who made the derogatory statement and told him that, listen here, La taqul haqadha, do not say like this. La tu'inu alayhi shaitan. Don't help shaitan upon this person. Don't help shaitan upon this person. Because if you are going to embarrass him and you are going to disgrace him, who is the only person who's going to become happy? Shaitan. Who is the only person who's going to rejoice? Shaitan. Because shaitan will have an upper hand on him and say that this fellow here, I brought him upon the wrong path once. Here is my opportunity to bring him on the wrong path again. My respected elders and brothers, we are in this world. We are not moving alone. We are moving with entire responsibilities behind us. The responsibility of the wife, the responsibility of the child. Their responsibility is not only food, clothes and shelter. Their responsibility is deen. Their responsibility first and foremost is deen. And like how we make a concerted effort upon ourselves, a person must understand that you have got to be cruel to be kind when it comes to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then how can it be when the tree has grown up absolutely crooked, now you make an attempt to go and straighten it. Now you're going to pick up the phone and phone this person and that person to try and straighten a tree that has already grown crooked. It is practically impossible. It starts at this age. Salah starts at this particular age. So my respected elders and brothers, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the naik tawfiq to make amal upon whatever has been said. And this is a reminder, my respected elders and brothers, inshallah, on the 15th, 16th of this month, or at least of June, will be the annual ijtima, inshallah, that is taking place in KwaZulu-Natal in Vellum. Inshallah, we should all try and attend, inshallah.